I want to read a scripture from Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. It's a parable. It's about the four seeds. And I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to read them to you. Listen, Jesus said, this is what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. Now, my gift is to exhort. When I taught last week. I gave you some exact teaching. Just teaches. It's exactly what it says. When you exhort, you take what was said and you expand on it. You give your own thoughts on it. That's a gift that God gave me. It's not something I necessarily worked up or I took training, but I just believe it's a gift. It's an absolute gift of God. When someone doesn't understand the word or they're told and it's wrong, the way that they're told or the attitude in which they're told, it's sad because many people, as Dave was saying, walk away from church, walk away from Jesus for that reason. And please know that most people do not turn against Jesus. They turn against Christians. They don't know Jesus. How could they turn against him? When people tell me, I don't go to that Christian thing at all, I always ask them, how much have you ever read about Jesus? How are you determining that you're not going with it? You determine based upon what you see in Christians. We are the Bible to the world. When they don't understand us, when they don't see love, then they turn away. The enemy wants to snatch away what was given to him. I promised I wouldn't preach on it. I'm not going to. The one who received the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. To me, that's just, people always ask, can you lose your salvation? Bottom line is, do you have root? Because there's plenty of people that rise up and say, this is really good. Having done this for 40 years, even as a youth pastor, the people that would come in often the first time and say, this is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. This is better than pie. This is better than anything I've ever seen. Don't stay. I don't know why. But they often don't stay. The people that come in and sort of bide their time and maybe even tell me, I'm part of another church. And that's great. Just whatever. They tend to be the ones that think about it and make that decision. A root requires something on your part. It's not emotion. It's a root that you make with the kingdom of God. There's more on that in another time. Then this one. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. That's somebody that says, I am a Christian. That's someone that has a root. But it's not what it used to be in your life. It's not what it once was. You can always remember a day when it was better in the kingdom. I tend to believe one of the missing elements is the willingness to be broken. I feel like brokenness isn't taught. We're taught how forgiven we are. We're taught how much grace we have. We're taught how prosperous we can be. But we're not taught that it needs to be broken, the brokenness of the kingdom. When I'm broken, I'm listening because there's no me in it. I'm not wanting something. I'm just broken before the Lord. Well, the story that I'm going to be writing about and speaking to you, I'm certainly not going to finish. I used to do this all as one sermon, but there's no way because I want to expand on it. It's from 2 Kings 5 about a man named Naaman. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and highly regarded, because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Naaman was everything everybody wanted to be. And it even says that though he was serving the king of Aram, notice he didn't say the king of Israel, the king of Aram, yet it says that God gave him victories. I've heard it once said, and I don't even know how to preach it to you. It's kind of scary to think about. Everything is in God's hands. Everything. And this man who had all this power had a problem. He had leprosy. And in that leprosy and in this power phase is where I want to go. See, no one knew he had leprosy. No one knew he was dying. Why? He had a robe. Now, I was trying to find a robe. Maybe I'll have one by next week. I don't own one. In my little apartment, there's no need for me to wear a robe. But you know what a robe is. You know that robe covers up the parts of you that you wouldn't want seen. He had a robe. It wasn't just any robe. It wasn't a bath towel. It was something that was full of royalty. It was regal. It was beautiful. It was something that the rest of the world would have looked at and said, wow, what a robe. And in part then, what a man. It's amazing how clothes seem to define us, and it shouldn't, right? You go to another country, and they wear who didn't win the Super Bowl shirts, right? Do you ever know that? If they make shirts for either team to win, and the losing team, of course, nobody's going to wear that the Steelers won the Super Bowl against the Packers that year. Of course, you're not going to wear that. So they send them to countries. In these countries, these kids wear those shirts all the time. Why? Because they don't care. There's such identity. I remember we used to buy Ben any shirt at all at a store called Gabriel's. And, you know, just any T-shirt that would work. And he said to me one day, Dad, please get me shirts that are relevant to where I live. You know, like Charlotte Hornets. Like, nobody cares. Shirts, everything. Clothes can define you. They can. Now, you don't want it to, but they can. That's where the stain came in that I wanted to show you, you know? You get an ugly stain on your shirt, you don't care that it covers you up. You are aware of that stain. And you know everybody is looking and saying, is that the best shirt he's going to wear? I mean, come on. Clothes define us, sadly. And here is Naaman, dying, but wearing a robe. Wearing a robe that placed upon him made everything else unimportant. What is leprosy? Leprosy is a disease that brings decay, bleeding, and numbness. Your body goes numb. It goes numb to eliminate the pain. What does the robe represent? Status, respect, honor, money, power, prestige. I read that verse in the beginning. What did it have to do with it? It said that Christians that allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches means if I only had riches, everything would be okay. That's the deceit. And in that, he said, it chokes out the word, the seed. In Naaman's life, he lived with the fact that he was dying, but he covered it up with everything that man would want. And you know, when he would take that robe off, I believe that he was numb to who he really was. When you face an issue or a problem in your life, something that's a stranglehold, something that really is pain for you, that's when you get to the gut level of who you are. That's why the word says, count it all joy. And again, that's like Tracy was saying there, it's really hard for us to do that. Like, hallelujah, I'm going through trials. But when he said, count it all joy, because in those very things, you get to the base level of what you really are, who you really are. And you don't change until it's too painful to remain the same anyway. And we might move in emotion sometimes, but the bottom line of change in my life, when I truly accepted Jesus, it was because I was at the bottom of who I was. And I know I needed him. And I made a decision accordingly. So when we get to those moments where we're in intense trial, pain, suffering, whatever it is, an intense situation of choice, and we take that robe off, that robe of, I'm okay, we take it off, we can become numb to those issues. We can act like they're not there. We can say, I don't care. And all those things that we say produce a numbness in us that not only makes us numb to ourselves, it makes us numb to others. You can't turn that off and say, well, I'm not going to let it bother me, but I'll be very careful for you. I'm going to tie that all into your heart, but I want you to understand you can't do that emotionally. When you become numb emotionally, you become numb, period. And you don't even know that you are. You think you're fine. But it's your way of coping with pain. When someone has the pain of leprosy in their body, the idea that their body literally is decaying, literally just decaying from you, you're going to become numb to that because to look at it is death. To look at it is to examine yourself and say, I don't even like this. I'm done. So I'm sure as much as possible, he put that robe on. And I think we do. I think we put our robes on all the time because we want to look good. We want to at least show that we're okay, but yet we're numb. We're numb to the very things that Naaman was numb to. He looked like a leader, but he wasn't inside. And every particle of pain that you turn into numbness builds into paralysis. It just builds. It's one upon another, upon another, upon another. And that's why you don't even know you've become numb. You actually think you're fine because you're wearing your robe. It could be the Jesus robe. Praise Jesus. Bless when I'm coming in. Bless when I'm going. It could be a thousand ways that you deal with it. But deep down inside, you've got a robe on that you don't want anybody to know what's on the inside. Because it's death and you know it. And Satan will take every circumstance that happens to you and declare death over you. Oh, this is, you're done. This world, he will kill you with it if you let him. That's why the Bible is very clear. Guard your heart and also use the shield of faith. And by the way, not in public with other people around. It might take you away. But it's okay to speak to it. I've been in a car and something just came over like, oh, this is going to happen. And I just say, you know what, Satan? I don't accept that. I'm a child of the King. Jesus spoke to him. And while I don't do it just to create some effect where I'm telling Satan what to do, but it's just something inside of me that has to speak the word. The other point I want to get across with Naaman in this leprosy is that it's a slow death. I don't understand death. I have a mother in Altoona that's going to turn 96 in December. But when I went to see her last, she's in a nursing home on a bed and I couldn't even wake her up. Physically, she's absolutely fine in the sense of she's 96 without cancer, without heart condition, without any of the effects of what happens when you're old. But she's not really there. And I have questions for God on that. Why? Why is she alive? Just take her, please. Just take her. She's still there. This slow death that Naaman was experiencing, I believe at times he just wanted it to end right away. But it didn't. And when it doesn't end right away, the death of your emotions, the death of your feelings, the death of your dreams, the death of any plan that you've ever had, the death of even the desires that you think are never going to take place, if it's not going to end, then you just want to cover it up. How do you cover up your pain? Displacement. Displacement. You put something else in its path. Your job, your hobby, TV, an addiction. And you make that your robe. So while I live above a bar, and if I come downstairs and eat, I see a lot of good people. A lot of people, I know them now. I go up, hey, Sam, how you doing? I know them. They're wonderful people. But sometimes I wonder, every night, what happens in their lives? What do you do to displace any pain? And while I'm not saying just live in a wallowing pit of pain, I'm not even coming close to saying that. But when you substitute something else and you never deal with what that pain is, you never allow yourself to go to that point of brokenness, then it only becomes a robe over you that somehow satisfies other people and seemingly satisfies yourself. But at the end of the day, you take that robe off and you literally become numb to what you see. It's like, I don't want to look there anymore. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to think about it. But I know it's real. I believe that that part of the seeds that Jesus was talking about, that deceitfulness of riches, that idea of the worries and cares of this world, I think it's what paralyzes the church. I think especially in my understanding of American church, I don't say the body of Christ at large. I don't know the body of Christ. But in my limited circle of understanding, I just see a group of people that are very sincere and or they wouldn't even be there. But they just can't seem to overcome. They can't seem to get that extra level because somewhere inside they've got pain and it's turned to numbness. And that numbness doesn't mean that it goes away. It just means that it rots silently. And so they put on the robe of success. They put on the robe of blessing. They put on the robe of power. You're going to find that a lot of people that are your bosses that seem to have power issues are really quite insecure people who haven't dealt with their pain. So they choose power. But I'm not here to pick on your boss. I'm here to ask you, what part of that robe do you have? And what is it covering up? And could it be that you are numb? That's why you're not broken. Brokenness isn't failure. Brokenness isn't because you fail. Brokenness is because you're aware of the living God. See, I just went to see a movie that I was invited to because I'm a pastor. It's called A Pastor Perk. And it's a preview of a movie called I Can Only Imagine. It's the story of the man in Mercy Me who wrote the song and sang it, and it became a worldwide hit, not just in the Christian culture, but in the pop culture and in the country culture. It became a number one hit. I Can Only Imagine. That song holds special place in my own heart for reasons that some people know. I Can Only Imagine. But in this movie, this man who wrote that song had to learn how to come to the end of himself. He was very good at what he did. He's a very good singer, very good in his group, but there was something missing. It's coming out in March, and I'm actually going to recommend that we make it a church event and rent out a whole screening one night, 75 seats, and ask you to come to it and be there as a church together just to enjoy the movie. It's that good. But I left the theater. I was a little upset that I was by myself. You know, no one likes to go to movies alone. I thought, everybody else is going to be there with somebody. I'm going to sit there by myself. I'm so glad that I was there by myself after I got over my little pity party. It's always, it's pity parties. Because when I left, I was so full of emotion. I had to go out to the car and just cry in the car. And I certainly didn't want to have a guy with me, you know. Sorry, I got to go cry. I'll be back. I just needed a good cry. Wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I don't have an alcoholic father like he did. I don't even relate to some of the things that he dealt with. Something just touched me in my inner man that I needed to just go weep before the Lord. That's what I mean by brokenness. Have you had a moment like that in a while? Where it was just you and him? And you weren't complaining? You weren't waiting for something? You weren't just crying out for something to be answered? It was just you and him alone. Ready? What do you want from me, Lord? I love you with all my heart. That's brokenness. If you haven't been there, then you become numb. So we still wear our robes of who we are, but inside we're numb. And that numbness is a mask that hides decay. Because if I don't feel the pain, maybe I don't think it's there. Maybe I don't think it's bad. Naaman hid his pain. In Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What is the weight that he said, let us cast off our weights? I gave it as pressures. All of us have pressure. All of us. Pressures. Issues. Life can be just one big issue. Trials. Things that seemingly go against you. Trials. But God's there. He said, I need for you to lay them aside. How you do that, I'll get to it in a moment. Sin. He said, lay aside every sin. You know, frankly, sin is just destructive. There's not a sin a person commits and holds on to. Meaning, of course, we all have our moments where we sin. I'm talking about someone who has a pattern of sin. If you have a pattern of sin in your life, any sin, it's destructive to you and to those around you. So the Bible is very clear. I'm going to read to you. This is like a heavy verse, but I just want to read this from Galatians 6. Galatians 6. This is a description of the kind of sins that Paul wrote about. Galatians 5, right? I gave the wrong one to him this morning, to Caleb. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. And just to stop for a minute, if you've been around for a while, like some, I'm not old, but if you've been around a while, you can just see the nature of sex just start to pervade society in a much greater level. Things that you one time would have never, ever pictured on TV are now common knowledge. Things that at one time were not allowed are now acceptable. The internet for teenagers, for young boys, can get on any internet they want and see whatever they want. They don't have to find some playboy in an alley like growing up like I did. It's all there. And it's real and it's powerful. It's the number one industry. It's the number one money-making industry. Let's not deny the power of perversion. Witchcraft, and it's my only comment on it. I won't say too much about it. I'm just going to warn you on something. If you want to celebrate your measure of Halloween, go ahead. But be very aware of one thing. Witchcraft abounds on everything. The fear, the whole thing. You see on TV, you see what it is. Just watch anybody who decorates their house and drive past. Do you see Casper the Friendly Ghost? No. You see anything ugly, death, 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 death. I don't want to celebrate death. Witchcraft. It's there. Hatred. How much hatred is there right now? Even in our own land. Discord. If it's not hatred, it's discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. I thought I saw road rage in the Greek, but I wasn't sure. Selfish ambition. What do we describe corporate America as? Dog eat dog. Whatever it takes to get up the corporate ladder. Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, those who choose to make that their lifestyle, but nevertheless, in the kingdom of God, we can fall prey to those things. And the Bible is clear saying, I need you to lay aside all that weight. And I need you to let go of that sin you think you need or can't overcome. every area of anger that I had in my life, I could overcome and have seen great victory in. I used to believe that's just my German nature. That's my dad did it. I just do it. That's just who I am. And I had to deal with the words that came out of my mouth. That's not true. That's not true. I can overcome that area of my life. If I just laugh at it, if I make it just part of things, then I'll never let go of it. We hold on to sin because we justify it. And the Bible just says, let it go, because that sin eats away at who I am. It's like feeding my leprosy. And I can put all the spiritual robes on I want and make myself look really good on Sunday morning. But deep down inside, I've got leprosy in there. And every time I choose to sin, or I choose to take those weights on, I give a permission to just start eating away and building upon momentum, and the very thing that's killing me instead of giving me life. And God wants us life. God said, I give you life and life abundantly. We can't let this happen. We can't let Naaman be in our lives. We can't believe that there's some sort of fancy robe out there that's going to take away everything else. Because here's what happens. By the way, Proverbs 16:25. I want to get that one in before I get to my last point. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Sin leads to death, even if it's not... If I'm not talking about eternal death, I'm talking about physical death. There's a sin that you can keep in your body that will actually kill you eventually. Because you let that in and you just propagate it. You don't stop it. It will kill you. A lot of them. How do we overcome all this? I mean, I just laid this heavy. You could walk out of here feeling like heavier than you have after a meal. When you realize, and you have to be honest with yourself, that you have stopped feeling and now you're only functioning. When you have stopped feeling and now you're only functioning, you're numb. You're still doing the job. People know it. They don't even have a clue maybe what's going on in your life, because they don't see you when you take your robe off. But inside, you're just functioning. You stop feeling. You know what that does? It eliminates the ability to receive and give love to God. Because when you're numb, you can't do that. Oh, you might cry out to him. You might complain to him. You might yell at him. You might ask him. But there's a disconnect. And somehow when your prayers now, there's a disconnect. And you just don't have that understanding, that feeling of his love. You don't even know it's there. You're almost saying, Lord, I gotta know that you're there. So please do this, because I got to know that you're there, instead of, Lord, I know you're there. I know you're real. And guess what? When you don't know how to receive and give love to him, it makes it nearly impossible to do it in church. And that's why we'll like to sit by ourselves. We'll like to not really communicate to other people. We don't want to do those things that much, because we got a robe on and we don't really feel. And while you're not able to pass out $5 bills to everybody you see on the street, your first thought is, why are they doing that? Why are they bothering me? Why is this happening? Why don't people just learn? You become very critical when you're numb, because you lost your feeler. You lost your sensitivity. You lost your ability to cry. The Lord wants to give it back. Jesus displayed that, didn't he, in the garden? He could have just said, hey, I know what's coming. I came for this purpose. Let's go, man. That's what a leader does, right? Now, he went in the garden. And by the way, when he went off by himself and he prayed, if it's possible, let this pass from me. He had to tell somebody, because they weren't with him, right? So he had to go back and tell somebody so that they could record it. This is what I prayed. This is how I felt. Or maybe they heard him. Maybe they actually woke up and heard his cry. Either way, he showed himself to be vulnerable, broken, but convicted. He knew his course. You can be broken and still be full of strength. But you need to be broken. You need to be sensitive. You need to allow those moments where tears just flow. You need to allow those moments where you're not defending yourself. You need to allow those moments where you're not so fully aware of everybody else's issues and who they are, and just looking at yourself like Isaiah did, where he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. But he started with himself. It was like Nehemiah who said, we have sinned, not these people have sinned, and I'm coming back as their savior. It was these kind of men moved mountains. It was David who was aware of his own faults, his own failures. He didn't put on any regal robe. He was aware. He wrote about himself. He was vulnerable to himself. God is looking for men and women who are vulnerable to themselves, who are sensitive to themselves, that are aware, because any robe that we put on and signify that we're okay is hiding something that needs broken, healed, delivered in us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you his peace. I'm going to give you a verse that I was to end with and forgot. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So I'm asking you to come forward to allow his yoke to be your yoke. God bless you. If it can play now, go.